Welcome back, everybody. Good morning. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. And as you can tell, that's some lovely organ music. Take me out to the ball game. Tonight begins a historic night in the world of Chicago Cubs baseball. This is the first game of the World Series that the Cubs have appeared in since 1945. It is away. It is in Cleveland because of the stupid All-Star game. But they will be back this weekend at Wrigley Field for games there this weekend. And there's a lot of stuff historically that's happened at Wrigley Field. And, well, I mean, obviously I'm stating the obvious here, and we're going to talk about that. There's a book called Cubs 100, A Century at Wrigley. It is a terrific book, which has 100 stories about Wrigley Field and experiences with Wrigley Field and the Cubs. And it's put together by Dan Campana and Rob Carroll. They've been on the show before. They also wrote a book a couple of years ago called Wrigley Field, 100 Stories for 100 Years. And this is like a perfect sequel. And we thought, you know, since it's such a special time in the world of the Chicago Cubs, that we'd bring Dan and Rob back to talk about the book and more. Let's say hello to Dan Campana. Hi, Dan.
Good morning. Good
morning, and welcome back to the show. And
Thank you.
Rob Carroll. Rob, welcome.
Thanks, Nick.
All right. Very excited. Let's first start with Dan. Let's start with you. Your parents met at Wrigley. Is that right?
They met in the bleachers, yes.
That's amazing. And you've been a Cub fan your whole life?
I had no choice in the matter. It's one of those things that, you know, they were fans coming from different backgrounds. They met, so it was in the DNA, without my say in the matter at any point. And I guess, I wouldn't have changed anything about that.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Let me just, how are you feeling right now? Huge game tonight. They're going to the World Series. Where did you watch the game on Saturday?
I was at home with my wife, my son, who is named for Ryan Sandberg, and a family friend, and we had some neighbors that kind of floated in and out, because I think in the history of Cub fans, we've all sat there and kind of thought, what are we going to do when they get to these moments that we've never seen them get to, or they've gotten to, and it's ended in disaster. Yeah. So I thought being home was the best place to start, and I think everybody else felt the same way. So that's why they kind of came in and out here and there. But we enjoyed a few beverages. We had no travel involved. We were here the whole night, yeah. And you know, it was an oddly relaxing night because they made it look so easy, and that's never happened ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was happy to be here, especially with, you know, my son, who was spoiled. This is the fourth time in 11 years that in his lifetime that they've been in the playoffs.
I know.
he truly will never get it.
Yeah.
I guess.
Now, Rob, where were you when you watched the game on Saturday?
You know, I was actually at home as well, and I that, and I thought, boy, do I want to make the trip there tonight, or if there's a game seven, which always the Cubs fan thinking, well, you know, Kershaw pitched tonight, what if they happen to not make it through? I want to be there when game seven's going, so I'm just going to stay at home tonight.
Yeah.
So actually, I ended up staying at home as well.
Okay. All right. Well, Dan, how are you feeling about the series?
I'm really confused because I don't know. This is uncharted territory. I think that's been said a lot since Saturday by a lot of people in the media and a lot of fans and friends I know. I don't know what to think. I was watching, you know, workout day and interviews and things like that. I saw clips of them painting the World Series logo on the field at Wrigley.
Yeah.
You know, maybe once the baseball starts, I'll have a better sense. But I guess in the one sense, I'm not nervous like I was before the Giants series, because that was five games and one thing goes wrong and that series could go downhill real fast.
Right.
I'm not nervous like I was after three games in the Dodger series, where it felt like 07 and 08 where the offense disappeared. I think maybe I'm pretty even keel right now, because I don't know as much about the Indians as I knew about those other teams. So maybe I'm adopting the Madden philosophy of just being relaxed and letting things happen as they happen instead of getting too worked up or too amped up. But
yeah.
I'm sure in the next couple of hours, it's going to kind of set in that, you know, this is something that we've been waiting for a long time, and it's time to freak out a little bit.
Yeah. Rob, where are you on this? How are you feeling about it?
You know, after watching on Saturday night and seeing, it's like, well, boy, it Saturday night alone almost felt like they won the World Series just because they had made it there.
Yeah.
And it's taken a couple days to really sink in that they're playing in the World Series. Like, it's taken a little while to sink in, and I'm not sure if it's fully sunk in yet, but it's starting to get there. And I think finally seeing it on TV and seeing them out on a field that says the World Series on it is really kind of like, wow, you know?
Yeah. No, it's going to be amazing to see tonight. I cried like a baby Saturday. I wept openly when I was watching the game.
No shame in that.
No shame in that is right. Absolutely right. And so I can't wait. I'm very excited for the series, you know, and optimistic about it as well. All right, let's talk about the book. You guys, a few years ago, wrote a book called Wrigley Field, 100 Stories for 100 Years. Rob, tell me a little bit about that one.
Sure. That was actually to celebrate Wrigley's 100th birthday. And in that book, we focused more on the field. And while we had several stories, obviously, in there about the Cubs, we also touched on other things about the times that when the Bears played there and the Blackhawks games there. We talked to different people that were associated with some of the concerts there. So that one is more centered on Wrigley Field itself.
Okay. And Dan, what about this new one? It's not new anymore, but it's Cubs 100, A Century at Wrigley. It's a terrific book, by the way. Dan, tell me how this one fell together.
It was really sort of a natural transition. I mean, it's not often you get two century anniversaries so tight, you know, tied together so closely. And that really is reflective of the Cubs and Wrigley. I mean, it's a relationship that doesn't exist anywhere else in sports. And I don't think Wrigley would be as magical a place if it didn't have the type of franchise that the Cubs are, you know, in terms of a legacy and not always good things, but certainly a lot of great players and memorable things that happened. And on the flip side, I don't know that the Cubs would be the same, viewed the same as a franchise if they played in a ballpark that was 10 or 15 years old or had changed parks a couple times. So really the adventure in this book is 100 different stories that kind of focus on that relationship from the standpoint of players who either graced the ballpark for their entire careers or only there for a couple of years, broadcasters, people who work there in various forms, beer vendors, you know, people like that, fans who have been there for many, many years as season ticket holders, people who were brand new to the ballpark in one form or another. The interesting thing, and Rob and I have talked about it a few times during this playoff run, is that we spent some time down there during the playoffs in 2015 collecting stories and meeting some people during that run. And, of course, you know, we kept having the deadline pushed back because they kept advancing. They kept playing well.
That's right, yeah.
It was really, really exciting time for us because we were excited as fans. And we had tickets to Game 5 of the NLCS last year. And we said, hey, we're going to go down there for Game 4. We'll get some work done. We'll talk to people. Then we can show up for Game 5 and just relax and enjoy it. And, of course, they get swept.
Yep.
And they were out of it before we even got to Superdog after we left the ballpark on Game 4. I mean, that's how quickly it went downhill.
Yeah. Yeah. Eight to three was the final, if I remember correctly.
We really focused on, you know, such a wide variety of things, and we got stories right up until they got knocked out last year. And you know, I think that was the beautiful part of it for us, is that we got the opinions of people who were down there optimistic. They had so many great memories at the ballpark, from Sam Jones' no hitter up through the clincher against the Cardinals last year. I mean, just such a wide range of things, and that's what makes this book, I think, a little bit special and unique compared to maybe some other things that have talked about Cubs history.
Yeah, and the book again is titled Cubs 100: A Century at Wrigley. We'll get into some of the specific stories that are in here from so many different points of view, and I want to talk to you guys about some of your favorite contributions to this book. But Rob, tell me how you got a hold of our good friend Len Casper to do the intro.
Yeah, we had just kind of reached out to him. We had reached out to him through Twitter, and Len is just such a fantastic storyteller, and what better person to have lead off your book than Len Casper. It's a guy that you can just ask a couple questions, and he can just sit and go all day, and you just want to listen to that voice. I mean, obviously, we all do listening to games, but just to have it on the other end of the telephone and to be able to ask him whatever you want was just such an honor.
Yeah, he's been with the Cubs since Cubs TV announcer since 2005, and he does such a great job. He's really, really great. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, do I miss him when Joe Buck is in there.
Oh yeah.
Oh man. Oh, yeah. It was just, I'm wondering, Joe Buck and we've got another bad Joe is going to be involved in the series, too. Joe West is going to be on the field. It's so frustrating. But Joe Buck is in there. And I'm wondering, they're playing the Indians, but I'm assuming at some point he will mention Kershaw.
I would think so.
I would just imagine at some point he will mention how great Kershaw is. Before we get into the specific stories, Dan, tell me a little bit about some of the great pictures that are in here, because it's not only is it loaded with great memories, really cool stories, which we're going to get to in a second here, but it's really got a lot of great pictures in it. Tell me about how you got some of these.
Well, I think our biggest help in this was the National Baseball Hall of Fame. They are the ultimate archive of everything baseball. And we had a good relationship with them after the first book. And in the first book, we just said, hey, what kind of pictures do you got? And this time around, we were a little more specific and asked for some, things that were more reflective of the ballpark. And fitting for the moment that we're in right now, toward the back of the book, there's a great, great photo of a guy who he looked like Jimmy Stewart in It's a Wonderful Life, because he's got the hat, he's got his long coat on, and he's on his knees and he's kissing playoff tickets or World Series tickets, the 1945 World Series. And I just was glancing at the book earlier and I saw that picture and I thought, I wonder how much those tickets cost him, because I'm sure they were not $4,000 a piece.
No.
And
standing room at Wrigley, I was just checking StubHub, is going for $3,600. For standing room.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. It's unbelievable.
but we had some of our own, more contemporary photos. We took some photos ourselves, especially during 2015 season. There was so much construction.
Right.
There's not as much this year, but there was so much construction. So we sort of took the opportunity to document a little bit of the changing that went on around the ballpark and, bringing it into this modern era that everybody said that needed to happen. And certainly the transition, everybody views it a little bit differently. But, I think the pictures help tell the story of how this ballpark has changed. But at the same time, what happens within the confines of the friendly confines, it's still baseball. The game is played on the same size field, and the things that happen in a baseball game haven't changed a whole lot over 120 something years, except for Dave Roberts changing pitchers every 30 seconds. That's a different thing now.
Okay, listen, hang on, guys. All right.
Sure.
All right. It's Dan Campana and. And Rob Carroll are with us, and they are the authors of a terrific book. And we're talking Cubs because the Cubs are in the World Series, and it starts tonight. Cubs 100, A Century at Wrigley, a terrific book. We have a link on our Facebook page. If you're a Cub fan, and if you want to celebrate 100 years of the Cubs being at Wrigley and celebrate this beautiful time for a Cub fan, you should get this book. It's great. And we'll talk more about it and specifically some of the stories in it as well.
Let's go!
You know, Dan, every time I hear this song, I need to pick up the phone and dial WGN so I can play ball with Roy Leonard. That was the cue right there. When you heard that song, you called up, and you could play ball with Roy Leonard and pick a number, and they would play a highlight from a game, and if you scored a run, you won tickets to see the Cubs with the great Roy Leonard. But I don't know if you've seen the picture that's was online, but there's a picture that Kelly, or maybe Kyle, I can't remember which one of Roy's sons, posted on his Facebook page. It's of Bill Murray wearing a t-shirt that says "Play Ball with Roy Leonard," and it's in the old studios on Bradley Place. On Bradley Place. It's from the old big with they had the wood paneling. The studio, one of the main studios that they had there, looked like somebody's rec room. It was fantastic. So anyway, all right. We're going to play ball tonight. Cubs are playing the Cleveland Indians in Game 1 of the World Series, and it's amazing that sentence just came out of my mouth. Dan Campana and Rob Carroll have put together a great book called Cubs 100: Century at Wrigley, and that's what we're talking about. Dan, welcome back.
Thank you.
And Rob, welcome back.
Thanks.
All right. I love the fact that you guys, as you mentioned, got so many different points of view from here, journalists and people who work at the park. Do you guys have a couple of stories in here that stand out for you? Rob, let's start with you. What are one or two of your favorite stories in here?
Well, just going back to the game on Saturday night, watching the final outs, and some of the people that flashed up on TV were some of the same people that were in our book, one of them being a lady by the name of Carol Haddon. Carol is the longest season ticket holder in all of Wrigley Field. Mm. She has had season tickets longer than anybody else in the ballpark. And I spent some time talking to her, and like she mentioned, she had went through all these years of bad Cubs baseball, and just she had started going because she was a teacher, and she had split season tickets with somebody else. She used to take her kids there. Her kids didn't really enjoy going to the games very much, but she has still hung on all these years. And she, like she said, she's probably been in Wrigley Field more than anybody else. You think of all the players who have come and gone and the workers who have come and gone out of there. She has been in that ballpark more than anybody else for more games. And she was one of the people that they flashed to who had tears in her eyes during the final outs of the game on Saturday night. That was one. Another one is, if you're watching closely to the games, you see the gentleman in the pink hat sitting right behind the plate.
Yep, you got him in the book.
we got him in the book. You can learn his story, and him going to games and being there game after game after game dates back to, when Ernie Banks hit his 500th home run, and he had went to 9 straight games in a row just to see Ernie hit his 500th home run. And, there he is sitting behind home plate still, just a fixture at the ballpark.
Yeah, absolutely. Dan, what about you? Do you have one or two stories that you really love in the book?
I like to stick with the the World Series theme, a little bit, because a lot of the uncharted territory that we talked about, it kind of comes up in some of these stories. Mo Mullins, who is one of the original ball hawks out on Waveland, there's a guy who's been out there for arguably half a century, catching baseballs and telling stories and all the interactions he's had. And one of the things he mentions in his story is that he would basically do whatever it would take to get his hands on a World Series ball that came out of Wrigley Field, because, it hasn't happened before. He wasn't around, the last time they played a World Series game there.
Yeah.
One of the other funny things that kind of stood out, the World Series theme comes up a lot of different ways in a lot of different contexts. And Jody Davis, who was a part of that great 1984 team, just a tremendously popular guy still to this day when he shows up at the ballpark. And here's a guy that was about as close as anybody who's played for the Cubs. They were one game away in 84. Unfortunately, because of not having lights, they lost their home field advantage to try to, salvage that series in 5 games. And unfortunately had to play all those games out in San Diego.
Yeah.
But, he talks about what an emotional thing it would be, to be a part of Cubs history when they, when they win the World Series. And he said now he reflects on it and he goes, when they win the World Series, whether they're home or on the road, there's going to be a vacant lot at Clark and Addison the next day, because fans are literally going to take it apart brick by brick and take it home, because there will be nothing left to do, in that ballpark.
Right.
And that would, it would just be that emotional, that memorable. And I think that's a theme that runs through a lot of the stories, because the World Series is sort of the focal point or the context point that everything that they've experienced, the greatest moments they've had in Wrigley, will always be second once they win a World Series. And, that's what's so amazing about it, is that people have experienced some really great things there, family things, game-related things. They've seen some, exciting things. But, boy, when it comes down to it, as soon as they win a World Series, all those things will take a back seat, because they'll have witnessed them winning a World Series and potentially they'll, witness it, first person in the ballpark, if things go in a good direction this coming weekend. And it would be hard to argue with any of those people who would put that first above some of the other things that are exciting. But, there's so many great names in there, and players, especially guys that we grew up following, Andre Dawson, Ryan Sandberg, obviously two great names from the 80s and 90s, yeah. Guys that I grew up watching. And just to have the opportunity to talk to them and hear what they thought about calling that their workplace and being on the field and being so treasured by fans.
Yeah.
It's not lost on those guys that it was a special place to play and a special fan base to play for.
And you got so many other great stories in here. Bert Hooten is in here. Fergie Jenkins. It's all over the place. Just wonderful stories. Milt Pappas. And from every point of view, like I said, you got cameramen in here. You got vendors in here. And I would like to mention John Smoltz is in here too.
Yes, he is. The Hall of Famer, John Smoltz.
That's right. That's right. We'll get to hear him tonight, so that'll be fun. And, yeah, I mean, just in great pictures and everything. Dan Campana, Rob Carroll. The book is called Cubs 100, A Century at Wrigley, with an intro by Len Casper and tons of amazing stories from incredible people. We have a link on our Facebook page to get it. Go Cubs. Thanks, Dan. Thanks, Rob.
Go Cubs. Thanks, man.
All right. See you later. Thanks,
go Cubs.
There you go. Go Cubs. That seems to be the saying of the morning here. Cubs play tonight, 7:08 in Cleveland, first game of the World Series, if you can believe that. Cubs 100, A Century at Wrigley, a terrific book. We'll take a quick break here. We got the news coming up next.